We're rolling along live here, the 17th annual Radiothon, the Children's Hospital. We're happy to be a part of it here on 107.5 The Game. Recently, Bill, I got a chance to sit down with a couple of patients, several different patients, got to go interview some USC coaches, and Braden Green is who we're about to hear here. Braden's a middle schooler at Creighton Middle School. He's been battling sickle cell since he was 3 months old. He's been in and out of the hospital back in 2015. He came down with a severe issue and was in intensive care here. His mom, Brenda, says a blood donor helped save his life. So that's one of the causes they're championing now, and they're actually throwing a birthday bash for Braden March 31st, where they're encouraging everybody to get out and donate to the Red Cross. But wanted to let you guys hear, Braden got to walk around a little bit at the Colonial Life Arena the other day. It was pretty cool. He got to take some pictures. He was all smiles. He also got a chance to sit down and talk to Frank Martin. So wanted to let you hear that right now. This is Braden Green and Frank Martin. We're sitting in the visitor's locker room at Colonial Life Arena. Braden and his mom, Brenda, are on with Frank Martin. And Braden has a list of questions. And I think they're going to be a lot better than the ones you're used to getting. I'm just not saying a lot.
Braden, I can say this. I already know your questions are better than his co-host in the morning.
What inspired you to become a basketball coach?
Ooh. Braden, when I was your age, basketball wasn't really a part of my life. And when I finally got to high school, I fell in love with it. And then I wanted to pursue basketball, and I quit baseball and football were the two sports that I played growing up. And my freshman year in college, I wanted to make the college team. I went to tryouts. I got cut. And then trying to get in shape for the next year sets of tryouts, I tore up my knee. And when I tore up my knee, I quit school because basketball is the only reason I was even in college, because no one in my family had ever attended college. My high school coach called me and said, hey, I hear you quit school. You need to go back to school. And I said, I'm just going to go get a job. I'm going to help my mom. That's all I'm going to do. And he said, come see me. So I went to see him. He said, well, if you're not going to go back to school, then come back and help me coach the guys in the neighborhood because they all respect you. And that was 1985. And here we are, 2018, and I'm still doing it. So you never know. You never know what door's going to open up and why you end up doing something. But I fell in love with it when I started playing in 10th grade, and that's how I ended up being a coach.
Awesome.
Who was your role model growing up?
My grandmother, my mom, you know, the two people that, you know, my family left Cuba. My grandmother would work in a sewing company. Her husband had a heart attack while he was getting his family to the United States and died. And so my grandma, not speaking English, moved here with her two children, raised them here, and then eventually I was born here. And I used to see her as a kid just leave at 6:30 in the morning to go work at a sewing factory, come back home at 6:30 at night, and she'd ice her hands. She put ice on her hands because it wasn't a machine. She sewed by hand. And she'd sit at the house with ice on her hands. And I never forgot how hard she worked to provide for us. And then my mom, the same way. You know, my mom, I came from a broken home. And unfortunately, my dad was not very productive in his role. And so I saw my mom fight and battle to raise my sister and I with just her mother's help and her brother's help. And so they, both of them were my role models as a young kid. And then eventually my high school coach, he was the person that I kind of looked at as to what it took to become a man and how to act. And so those three.
What is the most important thing about basketball that you want your players to know?
Basketball is a beautiful game. Because regardless of how good you are individually, you better be trusted by the other four guys on the court. And trust is not something that is handed out. Trust is something you fight to earn every single day. Even amongst people that you love and love you, you still have to work to earn their trust. You never take a day for granted. You can work every day of your life and be great, and you make one mistake, and you might lose the trust of a lot of people. And so trust is something that you have to have. And young guys don't comprehend that. But as time goes on, they realize that they can be very successful if they learn how to become part of a team and learn how to coexist with others and learn how to keep working to earn people's trust every single day. And when I watch young people embrace that and get to a place where they like, wow, then I know that they're prepared to succeed in life. They're prepared to go. You're going to find out one day, we all get jobs. But there's a difference between getting a job and keeping a job. Guys that understand that, because those lessons are taught through basketball, they learn how to keep a job. And then one day, you're going to get married, and God willing, you're going to have a child. You're never getting a vacation from your marriage or your child. So you have to learn how to work every single day. So those are the things that basketball teaches the guys.
What is your favorite basketball play to call?
Ooh, favorite basketball play to call. It kind of changes based on teams. But if you were to ask me, I've learned that if you embrace the difficult things, then you're prepared to do the easy things. So anything that runs through scoring in the post, because the closer you get to the rim, it's harder to score because there's more people in there, and the people that are at the rim are bigger. But anything that's like scoring in the post, because that's hard. It's hard to go play in there. It's hard to go score in there. We have a play that I've run every single year I've been a head coach, which is a throw it in the post. We call it motion one down. And that's probably when we're in a pickle, we got to have a basket, that's probably the play I'm calling.
What is your game day routine?
Yeah, I'm a little superstitious. I got to pack my clothes in the same order, take my kids to school. It's what I do every single day. Come back home, get the clothes I packed, load up the car. I go get coffee from the same place. There's two different places. One's for home games, one for away games. So it's two different deals. Come in, get a workout in. Then we have shoot around. Then I unpack my clothes in the same order every single game. I take a shower at the same time, and I get dressed in the same order. That's my little game day routine.
Okay. What do you like best about coaching the Gamecocks men's basketball team?
Gamecock fans just absolutely love their school. That was obvious to me when I got here. The way that they supported the other sports was incredible. The history that this school had in basketball, when Coach McGuire and, to a certain extent, Eddie Fogler were here, was the following. The stories about how hard it was to play at Coach McGuire at the Carolina Coliseum, and when Coach McGuire was here and Eddie Fogler was here, and people standing in line to get into games. But when I got here, that wasn't in place. There was actually apathy had set in the program. People really didn't care whether you won or lost anymore. That was sad to me. We're in a place right now where it's fun again for the fans. And fans care about our program the way they care about all the other programs at this school. And to know that 6 years later, we're a part of that. I get to feel that great passion that Gamecock fans have for their school.
If you could talk to any past basketball player, who would it be and why?
Michael Jordan. You know, I've never met him, but he would be one. I had the pleasure of speaking with Wilt Chamberlain. He was an unbelievable player. He was different than anyone when he came through basketball. But Michael Jordan, because of who he was on and off the floor, his ability to be successful and to impact those around him in successful ways. He had trials and tribulations like we all do, but they weren't overblown. They didn't linger. They didn't continue to fester. And he was able to manage his life in a way that's always brought him to success. And he surrounded himself with the right people. And when you have as much, when your life is under the microscope the way that his life was, to be able to consistently say the right things, do the right things, act the right way, surround yourself with the right people, shows a lot about what he's about. And but probably him.
What sports did you play when you were growing up?
Yeah, first sport I ever played was baseball. And it's probably my best sport. But that was the sport my dad kind of pushed on me. And when you grow up in South Florida, you either play baseball or football. So I started playing football when I was a kid. When I was your age, the Miami Dolphins were like real good. Because we didn't have basketball. We didn't have college basketball. We didn't have pro baseball. All we had were the Miami Dolphins. And the Orange Bowl where they played at is in my neighborhood. They had a running back called Larry Zonka. All I ever wanted was to be Larry Zonka. And so then I started playing football. And but baseball and football were the two sports that I played the most growing up. I started playing basketball. First time I ever played basketball was in eighth grade. And I went out for the junior high team, made the team. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was just kind of a big kid and made the team. And then when I came home, told my grandmother. See, my grandmother was the athlete in our family. So when I told my grandmother, she started talking to me about basketball because that's the sport she played in Cuba when she grew up. So since she was kind of my role model and knowing that's a sport she played, as I started getting a little older, that's also what helped attach me to basketball.
Frank Martin there with Creighton middle schooler Braden Green. You can follow more about Braden's story. You can follow the Be Strong group on Twitter. It's just the Be Strong group, and you'll hear more from Braden's mom, Brenda, about Braden's battle with sickle cell coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. But interesting stuff from Frank Martin there. I had no idea a guy who just took his team to the Final Four didn't even start playing basketball, organized basketball, until he's in 8th grade. That kind of blows my mind, Bill.
Yeah, it's really neat stuff, and excellent job by Braden there to ask Coach Martin some questions and get Coach Martin, of course, will open up to pretty much anybody, but a lot of interesting stuff there. And I think, give credit, I'm kind of worried about my job with Braden. He did a lot better job than I do in those press conference settings, so really good job by him. But yeah, Frank, in terms of playing a bunch of different sports and then going on to do what he's done is certainly just another sign. You don't always have to grow up with a background in basketball.
Right.
I don't know, like Brad Stevens, obviously the Celtics coach, is another guy I always think of that didn't play basketball at a collegiate level and has gone on to be very successful in his profession.
College basketball continues at Colonial Life Arena tonight. Gamecocks and Georgia. Carolina looking to continue the positive momentum of that big upset win against Auburn. Looking to end the positive momentum that Georgia's had now with a couple of back-to-back wins, Tennessee and Florida. A rock fight every time those two play. Frank getting a little personal when he sat down with our buddy Braden Green, who's battling sickle cell disease. He's a Creighton middle schooler. It's part of what we're bringing you as a radiothon here as we're joining you live from the Children's Hospital today and tomorrow. Wanted to let you hear more from Braden and Frank, and we start this segment with Braden going outside the realm of basketball.
When you're not coaching or preparing for a game, what are you doing?
Spending time with my children. It's people ask me all the time, what do you like to do? I like to fish. I like to play golf. But when you go fishing and golfing, it's like long days. So it pulls you away from your children. I have a 19-year-old son who's getting ready for college next year. I've got a 12-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old boy. And so, for example, we had a game last Saturday. I went to dinner with them after the game. And then I woke up Sunday and I drove to Charlotte to go see my 10-year-old play in a tournament up in Charlotte. So I've got plenty of time to be selfish and do the things I like to do for myself. But right now, nothing makes me happier than being around my kids.
What would you tell a young person my age who wants to play basketball in college or even a professional level?
Chase your dream. If that's what you dream of doing, anyone that ever tells you you can't do it, don't lose any sleep over it. Find people that tell you that they believe that you can do it, because those are the ones that are going to tell you the truth. And those are the ones that are going to help you as you go through your journey to chase your dream, which is to play in college and maybe one day professionally. Don't take shortcuts. Understand that it's very difficult. The older you get, the harder it gets. So you have to learn how to work at it every day so you can be prepared to continue to improve. And a lot of kids your age, because of social media in today's day and age, they're so wrapped up with public opinion, what others think. Don't ever worry about that. Worry about being true to yourself. Worry about the people that love you, what they say. Worry about the people that provide the opportunity for you, because if they're giving you the opportunity, they obviously believe in you. So that means that they're going to tell you the truth. Remember, people that believe in you are going to tell you the truth. People that don't believe in you are going to try and fool you. Don't ever listen to people that don't believe in you, and don't ever get consumed with what people that don't know you have to say. Be consumed with being, do right by people. Be consumed with being true to yourself. And then follow the lead of those people that love you and give you opportunities. We don't all have the same path to get to our dreams. Whatever path you take might be different than the one I take, but stay on your path and work at it.
Brenda, I know you've seen Braden battle sickle cell since he was 3 months old, been in the hospital, in and out all that time. Do you feel like he embodies some of that battle that Frank's talking about here?
Oh, my God, yes. He amazes me sometimes, you know, the strength that he has. And like a lot of times when I can look in his eyes and see that he's not feeling well, but you can ask him, how are you doing? How are you doing, buddy? And he'll say, okay. He loves school. So sometimes I think he may hesitate to tell me if he's hurting or something because he doesn't want to miss school. Mm. So his resilience, his perseverance, his desire to still want to do things, whether it's basketball or baseball, he still wants to do those things, but knowing there are some restrictions, he still wants to try. And I tell him, and his dad and I, we tell him how proud we are for even wanting to try. So thank you, Coach.
Absolutely.
For sharing your story. I know a lot of times we're asked to share our story. Yeah. And sometimes if people see you on television, they think it's simple and don't know that what you're doing or what it took for you to get to that point was not simple or was not easy. Mm-hmm. And just thank you for giving some insight and motivation and encouragement. We appreciate you for that.
Thank you. And as you go through your challenges on your path, as bravely as you've done it to now, always remember this. God doesn't put stuff in front of you that he doesn't believe you can handle. And whatever your challenge is, which we know what it is, but every day when you wake up, don't be too proud to ask for help. That's the one thing that, as the day you need help, ask for help. I need help today. People are there for you. And the day you feel good, just go out there and be excited about who you are, like it sounds like you always are. But there's no challenge put in front of us that God doesn't think we can handle. Always remember that. Keep your faith.
I think that's it.
That's it. You're awesome. This is incredible. Those are great questions. You should go work with him. You're a lot better than his partner.
No doubt.
Maybe a little too strong there with the no doubt.
Wow. Wow. Is that supposed to be recorded? I feel like you guys didn't realize the mic got cut off there at the end, or it wasn't cut off there.
We like to bring you the real stuff here on the early game, the behind-the-scenes stuff.
I feel like what we didn't hear is, oh no, it was still on.
No, it was about right. Thanks to Frank Martin, who during his season gave some time to sit down with Braden and Brenda. And if you'd like to learn more about their story, Braden's battle with sickle cell disease, or if you'd like to help support them, they're actually throwing a birthday bash and a blood drive on March 31st out at Kaufman Road Park. You can get more information at the Be Strong Group on Twitter. It's on Facebook as well. The Be Strong Group, that's B as the letter B, for Braden there, who's over at Creighton Middle School. And he's a soft-spoken kid, but man, the smile, I hope you've got on social media, tweeted out a couple of pictures, and it's on Facebook as well. Braden is a really happy guy, and you would never know that he's been battling sickle cell in and out of the hospital here at Children's Hospital since he was 3 months old and was in intensive care just a few years ago as well. And that's why they're doing this blood drive, by the way. Brenda says it was a blood donation that helped save Braden's life, and it's It's one of the main reasons that we're happy to be a part of today's Radiothon, and hope you can help us out as well by giving a call to the Colonial Life Phone Bank at 877-719-5437.
And you could hear in his mother's voice, and you know, we think about the kids all the time, we should, but obviously the struggle, the pain she had to go through, and probably still goes through watching her her child go through that. And again, the people here, the over 350 staff professionals here that are not only educated in how to work with the children, but how to help the parents through the situation at the same time, because it's extremely difficult. You mentioned it. Yours, thankfully, was not life-threatening, but you don't know that at the time. And when you can't do nothing for your child, you need support and the strength of the staff here at the hospital. They do a fantastic job.
175 patients today here at the Children's Hospital, so 175 families going through that right now, and 100% of your donations will stay local here to the Palmetto Health Children's Hospital. Again, that phone number at the Colonial Life Phone Bank, that is 877-719-5437. We've been talking this morning about Ryan Succop's big deal. Of course, Frank Martin taking on some good players at Georgia tonight. He's taken on one of the players I've asked. We've got a contribution via the Shepherd's Glass inbox that's been mentioned this morning. Sedarius Thornwell's a guy who, when I talked to Kerry Rich, going into the SC Pro-Am before he even come to South Carolina, Kerry said, this is the best guy on the floor. And we're talking about college players and pro players at that point. He was coming out of Oak Hill High School in between his senior year at Oak Hill after Lancaster and going to Carolina. He's like, Sedarius Thornwell's the guy. So he's one of those guys, like Ryan Succop was for me. As soon as I saw him, you know. Kerry knew as soon as he saw Sedarius Thornwell, at least at that stage. Craig hits us up with another SEC basketball player currently. He says Colin Sexton, watching him at the Peach Jam, the Alabama point guard. He knew, he's one of those guys. You could just tell. Eric Johnson hits us up. He says, I saw Ray Allen when I was in high school. I'm guessing back in Sumter. He's one of those guys. He's got it. You can tell these things immediately. Kenny Anderson hits us up with a baseball example. He says he played at Stratford High School back in the day. And if you know anything about college baseball or baseball in the state of South Carolina, you know they had one of the most stacked teams of all time in South Carolina with Justin Smoak and Matt Wieters in that lineup for Stratford High School back in the day. He says, talk about a stacked high school baseball team. No doubt, Kenny. Appreciate the contributions via the Shepherd's Glass inbox at Tim Hill 107.5 and at Will Gunter with 1L. Jamie also hit us up on the other side of today's Radiothon, just saying that his son was here at the Children's Hospital for about a week when he was 6 years old, having some issues with his stomach. Jamie continues by saying the entire staff at the Children's Hospital is fantastic. The care they provide, the things they do to keep the kids' minds off of being in the hospital, it's really amazing.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal facility. And again, you mentioned it, we're in the lobby, and it's set up kind of an aquarium type setting. I can see some paintings of some fish down there. Behind us is a wall that is set out like it's a school of fish behind us with names all over it. So it's a neat facility. And again, they don't just do a great job for the kids, but they also do an incredible job for the parents as well. So really cool to be here this morning and to hang out.